All right. Bad Radio Reports or Bad Radio's Movie of the Month. Do we have to name everything on this dumb show? Everything?
This is good stuff.
Currently, 57 degrees at Bells Beach, Australia.
Whoa.
Very nice.
It's 5 a.m. there, too.
Love it. Love it. Well,
519.
Last night, for the umpteenth time in my life, we watched Point Break.
Haven't watched it since 2012, I believe. We actually talked about it on the show back then.
Speak for yourself.
Oh.
When that thing's on, it's on. That's definitely,
I mean,
sit in the
stem to stern, you know, the whole thing.
There you go. July of 1991 is when this came out. And our goal last night was to have a great night with the P1 at the Alamo Draft House. That went very well. Full house, big theater, great crowd. They were into it. Everybody was into it. So that was goal number one, is just kind of have a communal experience with a movie that's 28 years old for no other reason than we want to.
We've been doing Movie of the Month for a long time, but there's just a different vibe at the Alamo Draft House. Just to get a bunch of people there and you're all... Don't you agree? It's just when you sit at your house watching something on your computer...
I agree.
Or if you're in the midst of a, you know, like... Bad Santa was fun. I remember you killed it watching it by yourself. But being at the theater, it was awesome. And maybe because it was not good, I don't know.
It's like whenever you guys go to the compound, and I do this anytime I go out of town with a group of dudes, we put a movie on and just do Mystery Science Theater to the whole thing. Then it's, even if it's bad, it's funny. And people laughing at the wrong parts of every one of these movies we do is the best part.
Yeah. And parts that they intended, you know, whoever wrote it and then directed and produced it, they intended this to be a very serious, tense thing, and we're laughing. Like, this is ridiculous.
Unintentionally funny.
Catherine Bigelow is a very serious director.
Yes, she is.
And she's done Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. So, yeah, she wasn't looking for laughs with Keanu's lines.
She wasn't? Because that was one of my questions. Like, are they trying to be funny with this script, or is this just the way that movies were back then?
They thought they were making the most bad to the bone movie ever made. They thought this was resetting the bar, and I will tell you, as their target audience, as a 19-year-old, I wanted it all. I wanted to learn how to surf. I wanted to live in California. I wanted to maybe become a Fed, but also maybe a bank robber. I'm not sure which.
Maybe
wanted
a skydive. Maybe a Heisman.
I want to do it all.
Probably win a Heisman, yeah.
Just throw that in there.
Like, this movie is so geared to the young male in just all of the food groups. Like, you're either... I mean, what are you not doing? It's football, it's surfing, it's
everything.
Jumping out of airplanes,
everything.
It's girls. It's
you want to have a plot discussion?
I really want to hear.
Or do you want to get some visceral reviews?
I want visceral reaction from the rookies before we get too far into the weeds here.
All right, Julie.
Yeah.
Review the movie in 30 seconds.
In 30 seconds, I did take notes of the movie. We can
in fact, in 2 minutes,
or maybe the 30 seconds is just the exact conversation you had when you got home and talked to your husband.
So it is 100% what I expected after hearing you guys talk about it so much. It was completely 100% boy movie in every way possible, in 90s boy movie in every way possible, and I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it. It was entertaining.
Yes.
But I did come out of it thinking, like I just said, like, is... And I was asking Cray Tray, which he even put on Twitter, but he was sitting next to me. I looked at him like 4 different times and I said, is this a real movie? Like, is this really happening? Like, it was just baffling to me.
Okay, so Julie's...
Is she hitting on me?
Julie's line on the movie poster.
How should I make my next move?
Julie on the movie poster, it's going to say, I didn't hate it. So we're gonna take that.
I didn't hate it, comma, is this a real movie?
Yes. Pretty much.
What a great slogan.
Well, there's another Point Break virgin in this room.
And I freaking loved this movie.
There you go. Oh, that's what I want to hear from you.
Yeah?
And yeah, it's... It's crazy watching this after I've seen Fast and the Furious, because I know you guys compared it. It seemed like Fast and the Furious was a remake. Fast and the Furious was pretty much a straight rip of this movie.
Thank you.
Except this actually had somewhat of a plot to it with the bank robbers and everything. And I noticed, I don't know if this was on accident or if this was in Fast and the Furious, if it was kind of a nod to it. But when he said, you can have any beer you want as long as it's a Corona, if you noticed when Keanu and Busey were drinking beers,
yes,
and then in the office when he was telling them his theory.
Yeah, the surfboard,
yes,
wax scene.
They were drinking Coronas.
They absolutely
were.
And
I don't know if that was on purpose, but I thought that was pretty cool.
I assume Corona wrote a big check to the Fast and the Furious, but if it really was a tribute, that's awesome too.
Is that the scene where they had their dress shirts like all rolled up? Like they hated each other one second and then they became, yeah, best friends and they rolled up their sleeves and
they were surfing on
desks.
They
were drinking beers and they were like kind of sweaty, just like breaking down that video.
He didn't want to tell them his crazy theory, but then once he did.
Maybe that's what we accomplished last night, is just an entire generation of P1s now realize that Fast and the Furious is a complete theft job from Point Break.
We're going to learn that very soon at the Alamo Drafthouse Theater this summer.
Oh, good.
We'll talk about that
at the time of your choosing.
But the plot, we do need to discuss the plot, because so it's like Keanu's first day ever as a Fed, right? He's just starting. John C. McGinley is brilliant, right?
So we've had two people from the movie on our show?
McGinley and Lori
Petty?
Yeah.
Was that Tyler?
I don't totally remember having Lori Petty on, but we did.
She was yours.
I know. I think I need to go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
Did you talk all about this movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, because
who knows if she's done anything else?
They were going to do a remake, and she heard about it and was like, it's nothing close to the true art we produced.
Right.
Like, no, was she kidding?
She was like, I don't want to be a part of it. This is a masterpiece.
And I don't acknowledge there was a remake. Right. If somebody says one or two, like what?
Is she in on the bit, or does she think that this is a bit?
She thinks it was a great movie. You know why? Because it was a great movie, Julie.
It really was.
You're all in on the bit.
Back to the plot.
But I guess so they... Just the crazy plot. So now there's this bank robbers who are great. They're the ex-presidents. They wear president's masks. And I've got to tell you, just the trailer sucked me in as a teenager, right?
Oh, yeah.
As a kid, you're like, whoa, this is the greatest thing. I got to go see this movie. And so it's already two months into the summer. And Busey noticed that they have a pattern over the 3 years that they've been robbing tons of banks and always getting away with it. They're great at it. They're in and out within 90 seconds. They're like ghosts, they say. There's 1 month left in the summer. Okay, 1 month left in the summer.
Why is that important?
So we're going to assume it's like August 1st. They're going to leave September 1st. Well, that's important because they're like, okay, well, let's try to go undercover. Here's what we'll do. You learn to surf. You've never surfed in your life. In the 1 month, you need to learn to surf.
And then
identify what surfers on the coast, this whole giant coast, are the ones committing these crimes.
We just need a hair sample to prove.
Infiltrate their group and then catch them somehow. Like, so the first day he goes out to learn to surf, he is coughing and he's almost dying. He's not doing well. A girl kind of saves him, brings him to shore. She just so happens to be the leader of the ex-president's ex-girlfriend, and introduces him to Bodie. And I mean, the amazing coincidence there. Like, everything had to fall into place. He's also, being a former Heisman Trophy winner, was able to learn to surf competently enough that he's in with this group of, clearly these guys have been surfing their entire life, but he's now kind of surfing along with them. Bodie, he kind of falls in love with. It's a love story, right?
Sure.
He ends up falling in love with Bodie and his Bodie-isms and the wisdom and the way he sees the world. You know, so much so that he knows it's Bodie that he's chasing there when he's wearing a mask, and he looks into his eyes and he can't shoot him. And Gary Busey is very upset with him for not killing Bodie.
You never miss.
You never miss.
I did. I missed this time. you know, he even ends up letting him go at the end. And Bodie, the same thing. Bodie wouldn't let his friend shoot Agent Utah as he ran at them, as they realized he's now an agent when they were catching them rob a bank.
A bromance, if you will.
And then when they did a knockdown, drag-out fight, I can't remember which fight it was, because there was this theme throughout the movie of Utah chases down Bodie. The first time on the beach, Utah chased down Bodie, tackled him playing football, when they learned that, again, here's another plot thing. Johnny Utah is a guy famous enough to be nationally recognized. He won a Heisman Trophy. He played in the Rose Bowl
with Ohio State. They took down SC.
And then he went undercover as an FBI agent.
I think they lost, by the way.
Did they? Dang it. I better watch it again tonight.
Like that, it seems like you would want to be kind of anonymous to ever be able to be a successful undercover agent.
Very few celebrities make good undercover agents. It's just a weird thing.
But I thought the one, after one of the fights, it was the one... Okay, here's the fight. And Julie, tell me if this is a weird plot thing. Jumping out of a plane without a parachute, which Agent Utah did to dive after Bodie, who had jumped with a parachute. He chases him down for a third time. He chased him down the other time after the robbing the bank. Then they had a big knockdown, drag-out fight on the beach. But then at the end, they were kind of laying there, huffing and puffing. And I equated that to they just had sex. That's their I just had sex.
Why do you equate that?
Because it seemed like they did, and they were in love with each other.
Whoa, like, I never thought about any of this bromance, the two of them being in love with each other thing.
Pull the chute. You pull the chute. They were in love.
All right, let's pick it up here next. Let's keep going. We have more to explore, so much more. Julie. 229, or it's 87. I don't know. A ticket.
The ticket is just beginning.